Revelation 22. Beginning at verse 18 through the 21. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. And let me say this, that we see here that with the grace of hearing comes responsibility. It is an exceedingly precious gift to you to be able to sit under the truth. And we see that it carries a heavy responsibility. If we hear, if we've been privileged, if we've been so positioned by our God to hear, to be able to have access to reading these words and then to hear these words taught. Listen what the scripture says. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Not, if you please, is this speaking in a general way to those who have no interest, no access, no privilege, no blessing of being under the Word, but to those of us who have this great privilege. We have the Lord's testimony. What is it? If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Oh, no. Let me heed this word. There's a lot of things you don't want. A lot of things that you have experienced in life that are unpleasant, even to this point. But you never had anything bad like unto the plagues that God can give you for disobeying His word. That's bad news. And listen to the statement. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So here we are. We're at the end of the book. We've heard the words. We've read them. We've tried to look into the meaning of them. Let us not tamper with them now. Let's let them stand. Let's not add to them. And let's escape God adding unto us the plagues that are written in this book, because they're serious indeed. If any man, verse 19, shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So, this book contains the peak of revelation concerning the wrath of God. You'll have no greater descriptions, no further insight possible about what it means to suffer under the wrath of God than the statements found in the prophecy of this book. They are some of the most complete and exhaustive statements to be found in the whole Bible concerning the punishment of the sinner, the punishment of the wicked, the judgment of God. You also have no better picture of the glories that are to come and the blessings that God has prepared for them that love Him. And so, therefore, let us determine that we're going to participate in the good and we're going to avoid the bad. And let us resolve to make a good ending. Because we do not want God taking our part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. We don't want to miss this. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. This is repeated in the 22nd chapter. I come quickly. In other words, it's going to be over sooner. His coming, I believe, here is not just in reference to the coming with the fulfillment of the prophecies that are in this book concerning his dealings with his church, the judgment upon the wicked, and various chastening rods that he delivers in this present church age, but his final consuming and glorious return. He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. John says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Would it be all right with you tonight? And not just all right. Would there be any thrill in your soul if Jesus were to come this very evening? Is it well with your soul? Can you say wholeheartedly and join in? And this seems to be a last barometer to judging our correct spirit, is that we ought to be able to enter into unity with John as he has heard the words, behold, I come quickly. John adds his own commentary, even so come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready. I delight in it. I'm prepared for it. There's nothing yet that I'm wanting out of this world or out of this life before I meet you. I'm fully prepared to take my leave. I'm ready to enter into the eternal bliss. I would not delay your return 1 minute if it were in my power to do so. I would have you to come quickly. I would have you to come now. You say, well, what about all those that are not right? Can't help it. We can't help and will not be able to help the real serious condition of a single soul, but we can be right in our own heart. And that's our own duty, beloved, is to be fully prepared and fully anticipating and fully in a harmony with the coming of the Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The usual benediction to New Testament books. Amen. His final word is about the word, and it's an encouragement, an admonition, an exhortation to each of us to guard the word. Isn't it interesting that God takes final care of his word? The revelation, not only the apocalypse, but I believe in a very true sense, the whole volume of sacred scripture is being addressed in this last serious caution. The Lord will have these fantastic revealing prophecies get into our hands and our ears. And think about it. Hasn't the Lord preserved his word for us? Sometimes I've heard Brother Henry has prayed because of his Gideon association. Lord, we thank you for preserving the word for us. And indeed, the Lord has. The Lord will have the word, the fantastic prophecy of revelation, come to our hands, come into our ears, unmolested, unaltered, unedited of its contents in any way. He doesn't approve of anyone touching his word, editing his word, molesting his word, changing the meaning of his word, adding their own opinion to his word. He mandates that we leave it untouched. Let it alone. That's the admonition. You know, it seems to be the fact that you have in the apocalypse very precise identification of much ecclesiastical corruptions, many doctrinal errors, much apostasy from the pure faith. Once the Lord delivered his truth to the saints, and the book of Revelation is so incriminating to false teaching. It exposes so much that is anti-Christian that the Lord anticipates religious efforts and energy put forth to modify, to delete, to change, and to revise the very passages that incriminate those that are addressed. He says to his foes, he says to his friends, let it alone. Let it stand. So here we are with the Word of God. You know, it's a wonderful friend to really take the Bible as it stands and not being trying to read into it any private interpretation, not trying to make it fit into any particular system. It's amazing to me how many people put on their colored glasses and try to fit everything precisely into one mode of thinking or one vein of thought. Let it alone. Let the Word of God speak. That's the admonition in the final closing verses of Revelation. Many times the very passages that expose the things that we need to hear. We need to accept at face value. So therefore the Lord addresses those that are tempted to alter and modify the Word of God to suit their fancy. He warns them. There are two fearful crimes that are set forth that can be committed against the Scriptures as a whole, and especially this last individual book. And also, these alterations are followed by terrible penalties. What is the admonition? There are two fearful crimes set forth. First of all, any individual, that means you, me, any teacher, any Bible translator, any interpreter, who does as verse 6:18 says, anyone who puts his own thoughts and adds more than is revealed, anyone who alters in any way by, as it, if you please, because of his own pride or his own vanity or his own fleshly speculation, anyone who wishes to enhance, if you please, the meaning of the word and extend an enlarged picture into the future which has not been revealed. And by the way, there are many individual things that have not been revealed, much that has. But anybody that wants to take it upon themselves to put in things concerning what God is going to do and alter the word as it stands is running serious risk. Let it stand as it has been revealed is the admonition. We should not approach the Scriptures, especially the book of Revelation, as though it is not enough. And we need more details. That we want further explanations. We want adjustments. Anyone, again, who takes it upon themselves to add to the Scriptures will suffer the loss of his immortal soul falling under the wrath and retribution that is so faithfully spelled out through this prophecy. We don't want that. So let us not add to the Word of God. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things. Why would anybody want to do that? God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And by the way, these plagues, if you please, are some of the deepest descriptions found in the entire revelation of God of the suffering that is going to come upon God's enemies. Let me just rehearse for you just a few of these plagues in Revelation. Look at Revelation 14. 10 and 11. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night who worship the beast in his image and whosoever receives his mark in his name. Is that not a scary thing to read about? Can you imagine? This is the plague that is revealed in the Revelation. And God says anybody who adds to this revelation is going to suffer this plague. Drinking of the wine of the wrath of God. Poured out without dilution. The fierceness of his indignation, tormented with fire and brimstone, day and night, the smoke of their torment and ascending up forever and ever, having no rest day and night. That's a plague that I want to avoid. I'll tell you, my friend, that's why I say is this thing is serious. Being saved from sin is no little thing. There are going to be countless souls. Oh, that we could number them. We cannot number how many people are going to know this end and suffer these things. These plagues. What a judgment. Look at the Revelation 19. Here's another listing and explanation and revelation of the plagues so warned. Revelation 19. And the beast, verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sore proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with his flesh. What a gruesome and terrible judgment that is spelled forth for those who worship the beast. Certainly, followers of Antichrist are going to be condemned, but those that tamper with the Word of God, and isn't it amazing that much of what Revelation deals with is actual violation of the last admonitions that are found in the book? Tampering with the Word of God, altering the message of Christ, adding to the gospel, taking away from the Word of God, somehow modifying the Word to suit men's own fancy and speculation. Revelation 20, verse 10. The Scripture says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. If I understand anything about these plagues, is they are non-ending, and those who suffer them will never get any rest anymore. You think you've ever been tired? You think you've ever hurt? You think you've ever been troubled? You think you've ever been tormented? You don't know a half of what torment and unrest and trouble is compared to being set apart and set aside by God into the eternal lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In verse 14 is told us, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. In Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So here you have a fairly comprehensive and harmonious description of the deep and serious penalty that will be finally suffered by everyone who is not right with God. And my friend, no one can be right with God. No one will find and enjoy the eternal favor of God who puts their energies and mind toward twisting, perverting, subverting, or wresting the Holy Scriptures of God. Let us not do it. Let's let it stand. By the way, when I was meditating on this today, a deep, serious awe came upon me, thinking and almost trembling the fact that, have I added anything to God's Word as we've gone through this? Have I sought in any way, if in any way I've been in any measure untrue, it's not been by willful, premeditated intent to deceive. God knows my heart. I've desired to be true and faithful to the Word of God. I do not want to stand and suffer this plague when I stand before the Lord, to be cast away from Him and to be tormented forever and ever and ever in the endless, burning, sulphurous pit of eternal fire. So we have the warning not to add to, but there is also the second warning. It is addressed in verse 19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Those also who delete, strike out any word or passage that doesn't agree with their interpretation or their personal practice. And I find this to be true. Men seem to be fairly cunning and skillful at ignoring or deleting truth that addresses a particular problem that they have. So from whatever motive, men who rob the revelation of God of its faithful testimony on any point. And by the way, let it stand. If it rebukes you in this area, let it stand. Don't change it. If it calls for you to get right, get right. Don't change the word. There are many ways that this crime may be committed, but anyone who finds that they have robbed the revelation of its faithful testimony shall find that they will themselves be robbed of a place and a portion in the new wonderful world to come. We don't want to miss the city and all the glories that God has for the saints. And isn't it interesting that verse 20 seems to address those who in some way profess the Christian religion and have expectation of going to heaven? Isn't it amazing how it's addressed? God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. It seems that those that are warned are in some way fooling around with the things of God and are familiar with Christianity. Seems addressed to those who profess the Christian religion in some degree. And by the way, you think about it, have not the greatest offenders in this matter been religious folks? Folks, it's not the atheists and the agnostics and the skeptics who, they just reject the entire Word of God. But it's religious people who tend to alter the gospel, modify the Word of God, adding to and taking away from the Word of God. And the Scripture says God shall take away that individual's part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. So let us feel the effect of these words of caution. I'm cautioned here to be faithful and let the word of God stand. Listen, this is the admonition. This is the closing admonition. Be faithful with the word. Be true to it. Honor it. Hold it in reverence. Let it stand. Guard the word. With all your power, receive it, believe it, and guard it, just as it's given. Accept the whole counsel of God. And my friend, that which you cannot understand, don't try to explain it away with fanciful interpretations that mean nothing. Just accept the word. You should receive and contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So, beloved, as all biblical exhortations, I find it to be harmonious with every exhortation in the Scripture. There is a current relevance and a responsibility that's laid on each of us who hears and reads the word of this book to hold it dear and to stand and contend earnestly for the faith. Let us read it and not change it. Let us accept it and believe it, and receive what the Holy Spirit will open unto us. And by the way, isn't it amazing that though there be deep and mysterious portions in the book of Revelation that are hard to understand, yet that which concerns us most in any point of obedience is always laid out in plain, understandable language. It's not a mystery what God would have us to do. He would have us to be faithful to His Word. So here's the closing exhortation that God gives in the closing minutes, not only of the book of Revelation, but for the whole Scripture. Let it stand. Hold it true. Friend and foe, take heed. There will be no exceptions. Even those who profess to have a hope of their name being found in the book of life, if they alter, add, modify, change, distort, twist the Holy Scriptures, they shall find themselves suffering under unutterable woe. So as always with God's admonition, we see it here that our past profession is past And our current faith and obedience to God's word is the crucial test. And so when we read this again, we say, well, I've been saved. Listen, this warning applies to me. This caution is my caution. I am responsible. Now, beloved, in a real sense, this warning is a specialized warning. In one sense, it's not for the general run of the mill of poor, untaught, untrained sinners who would never think about changing the words of the Bible. But in a sense, it's a specialized warning. It's addressed specifically to those who are so positioned to have education, knowledge, access, and expertise to make serious changes to the Word of God, corrupting the integrity of God's revelation, either whether it's the corporate message as a whole or singular admonitions found in Revelation itself. It is seemingly a specified, individualized warning for those positioned who could change, drastically altering the Word of God. I believe a rundown of those who are at risk and those who are warned would be any scribe who copies the Scripture, any religious teacher who takes it upon himself to open the Scriptures, any scholar who is trained in the original language, any textual critic, any translator into current contemporary English, any minister who publicly exhorts from the pages of the Word of God, any college professor who is in the position to teach young minds, is so warned. I heard of a college professor, a teacher of introductory 101 Christianity introduction. I heard him say, and heard that it was said by various ones who had been in his class, how many of you students have been taught to believe every word of the Scripture to be the true Word of God? And hands went up everywhere. And the professor, from an advantage of being the professor, being many years in this post of teaching, said, you can forget everything you've ever heard about the Bible to this point. You're going to learn some things new. Such are in a fearful predicament who have been so positioned. I'm telling you, it's a specialized warning to anybody who is in that position of education and authority and learning and sit in a place of teaching who has authority over men to teach the Word of God. It's a specialized warning. Yet, does not the warning have a broadness to it? In the caution itself, all men are being addressed. Everyone, even who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. And beloved, is there not a tendency in men in general? And there's not a tendency in people to take what they like of the Scriptures and cast out what they don't like? You know, see, I think that there are some hyper-Calvinists that I've run in and acquainted to that they are just as bad as the hyper-Armenians to take what they like and cast out what they don't like of thus saith the Lord. Let us be careful here to delete, ignore, neglect, discredit, avoid, take away any teaching of the Scripture is a perilous thing. Let every doctrine stand as it's been given by God. Let every commandment speak forth its edict. Let every condition laid down by the Lord Jesus be faithfully maintained. Let every teaching be publicly heralded. Let the testimony of Scripture stand, beloved. It's your salvation to be faithful to the Word of God. Anything that infringes on a besetting sin, men tend to cast away. Anything that rebukes an enslaving habit, men tend to ignore. Any teaching that blasts a destructive lie can be easily modified. But even more pitiful, to ignore and neglect and discredit the Word of God to adulterate the beloved, simple, pure gospel of Christ with every conceivable scheme of works. Do you know of any message that's been more adulterated than the pure gospel of Jesus Christ? Think about how many human inventive schemes of works that have been added to the pure gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel which says God forgives sins on the basis of the shed blood of His only Son, and that men are saved not by works of righteousness which they have done, but the grace and the mercy of God that is revealed in the sacrifice of His own Son, the sacrifice of Jesus, the shedding of His blood, that His death, burial, and resurrection is sufficient payment for each man's sins. So the judgments that are so forcefully set forth in the book of Revelation are sent down upon men actually because of the violations of these concluding warnings. So how special, beloved, how blessed it is for you to let the Word of God have free course with you. Let the Word of God take you where it will. Let the truth lead you on to a better knowledge of God, to a better knowledge of Christ, to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Guard the Word, beloved. That's the duty laid before us. You know, if God lays such an exhortation upon us, and if such extreme anathemas are placed on the sin of tampering with the Word of God in either direction, adding or taking from, what an underlying approval and confirmation to the pure Word we are reading and studying and preaching tonight. Folks, it is an encouragement to us that we do have the pure, potent, accurate Word of God with us this very evening. In essence, you know what? When the Lord warns men to not touch it, not tamper with it, He says, I'm going to get it and I'm going to see to it that it's preserved. In essence, there is a divine pledge in these words to guard and preserve the very purity of Scripture till the final day. And God, I'm telling you this, He will be faithful to preserve it and has. Doesn't mean that it cannot be altered by men and individuals. Doesn't mean that it cannot be twisted and perverted to the damnation and the confusion and consternation of men's souls. But as far as the faithful testimony, we will have the faithful testimony of God. If the Almighty God forbids friends or foes from changing His Word and condemns in the strongest language all human willful modification of His sacred record, then we may be sure that factors beyond human control will never be allowed to so corrupt the Scriptures that its original God-breathed meaning has been lost to us. In spite of the passing of time, in spite of the many heretical false gospels that have arisen, in spite of all the scribal errors, in spite of all the manuscript variations, in spite of human perfections and works of translation, we can be sure that due to these final warnings, God Almighty has watched Himself over His Word, kept it pure from generation to generation, and exercised His omnipotent power in the faithful duplication of the original Word. Beloved, there's been all sorts of creeps who have crept in from time to time with their new revelations, their Book of Mormon, their sacred writings, their clever inventions, their scheming alterations to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they all can be rejected hands down on the basis of the fact that we have the true Word. And it lives on. The inspired contents of the Bible continue to bear a living witness to the authority and completeness of the truth of God. Real Christians know when they read the true Word. We have always known the book by what the book says. We discern the right one, even from all the many fictitious productions that have come down through the years. We discern the truth of the Scripture by the same Spirit that inspired the Scriptures originally. So, beloved, with all the prolific rise of what is false and corrupt, hold on dearly to the precious Word of God. We could not say enough about the value of the objective truth of God laid down before us in black and white. The divine seal of God is upon His Word. The communication is now complete. You have it all. I'll assure you by Almighty God that there is no more revelation coming about God. It is complete. It is full. It is finalized. There is not a need for another single syllable to be given to us by God. We have it all. We have all we need. Yea, we have more than we can take in. Let it alone. Receive it faithfully. Believe it with meekness. Obey it with soberness. For your eternal well-being depends on your faithful adherence to the Word of God, both in precept and in practice. Don't be indifferent. Jesus is coming soon, verse 20. Be about doing His will. Serve the Lord with gladness. And know that as symbolic and mysterious as some of the things have been in the book of Revelation, the critical, essential truth necessary for your own faith and obedience has been spelled out plainly in understandable language. Everything that you need to know for salvation has been clearly pointed out in the simplest language for the mind of the most fundamental believer. So, amen, Lord Jesus. Your Word stands complete. We receive it even as You've spoken. Surely You do come quickly. That's all right with me. I'm ready. Are you ready? I'm glad that the book closes with a pronunciation for those that love Jesus and are ready to meet Him. That the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I'm glad that that is for whatever lies before us until we meet. Grace will be sufficient to meet every need till we meet Him in glory. So, whatever infirmity is our lot to live with, whatever temptation comes our way, whatever heresy arises, whatever be the future, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, even to the very end. Amen. Let's pray. Blessed Lord Jesus, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for caring enough about us to come to this earth and lay down Your life as a sacrifice for our sins. Thank You for caring for us when nobody else cared. Thank You for having an eye to our eternal good. Thank You for sending Your blessed Spirit to arrest us when we were insanely pursuing sin. Thank You for whispering to our ear that effectual Word that said, come. Thank You for enabling us to repent of our sins. Thank You for enabling us to open our heart and believe the gospel and to receive gladly the forgiveness of our sins through Your shed blood. Thank You for the gifts that You've given us. Thank You for the understanding that You've been pleased to help us with from time to time. Thank You for every grace that has been so abundant through the years. Thank You, dear Lord, that You have brought us to this point in time. We can say, we who know You can say, Your grace has been with us. You've helped us. You've ministered to us. You've lifted us up. You've sent us the word when we needed it. You've turned our thinking when it was cast down. You've helped us in so many blessed ways. Oh Lord Jesus, we pray that we will walk in a strict obedience, not loitering, not being idle, not being careless, but with utmost diligence, faithful with every word that you give us, faithful with every truth that you've delivered to our souls, faithful with every understanding that you've been pleased to give us, that we will not just hide it in our hearts. We will be willing to testify and share those precious things that you've given us with our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our friends, our fellow workers, that we will not hesitate to be bold and speak of what we know of the truth of God. Please bless us, Lord Jesus, to be faithful in these days. Help us to stand firm upon the Word of God. Help us to know the strength and the power that comes by taking a firm, unbending, unyielding, uncompromising stand for truth. Empower us to be able to do so, even in the harshest and hardest of times to come. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.